We are in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ under the heading of three different letters R. In regard to residence, in regard to righteousness, and in regard to resurrection. And for the first, may I turn the brethren to John's Gospel in chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. We have here the testimony of John the Baptist concerning the Lord Jesus, John 1, and verse 29. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." The second occasion, in verse 35, again, the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And there is no mention of sin. Because, beloved, the teaching, I believe, of this chapter is this, that when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who's dealt with us as sinners and removed our sin from his sight, we can say God has blotted them out. "Your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more." The second vision of John the Baptist concerning the Lord Jesus was the Lamb of God, and there was no mention of sin. But it's interesting to note what follows. Verse 37. "And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" The exercise of the soul who met Christ as Savior and came into the realization that Christ had dealt with his sin was to find out where Christ dwelt. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, "Come and see." And they found where he dwelt, and they dwelt with him. And beloved, where does the Lord Jesus Christ dwell in 1989? He said, "Where two or three are gathered to my name, there am I in the midst." He's the head of the assembly. And he dwells in the midst of living stones, Ephesians 2, living stones, fitly framed together to provide a habitation, a dwelling for God in the Spirit. Beloved, it's one of the greatest privileges of being a Christian, that with another two or three living stones, you provide a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. We are in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God the Son, in regard to residence. He dwells among us. No other deity that the ecumenical movement would take up and will take up eventually dwells in the midst of his people. Jesus only is the one who dwells in the midst of his people. We are in relationship to him in regard to residence. And then we're in relationship with him in regard to righteousness, because we have none of our own. Scripture speaks of people who, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. And we look back into the book of Exodus, we see there that the ark, that which was constructed of gold and shittim wood, acacia wood, the wood that flourished in the adverse circumstances of the desert, speaking of the one described as the root out of a dry ground, that ark, symbol of Christ himself, had inside it the two tables of stone, all the requirements of God that man could not meet and man could not live up to, carried in the ark speaking of the righteous claims of God and the holy laws of God fully met, fully answered, and fully maintained in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then Scripture speaks to us in Romans, and we'll turn to it in a minute, chapter 3, of the righteousness of Christ by faith. And this is how we are in relationship to him. There is imputed to us the righteousness of Christ, which brings us suitable and acceptable before the holy God. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. We are in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, inasmuch as we have the imputation of Christ's righteousness. God sees us clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Genesis 3:21, the coat of skins that clothed Adam and Eve, suitable to the presence of a holy God, was that which was given by God, the one who had been offended by them. Luke 15, the robe that covered the filthy rags of the prodigal son was bestowed upon them by the father against whom he had offended and sinned. We have been imputed the righteousness of Christ, and we are in that relationship to him. There is no higher ground, beloved, and any lower ground is not sufficient. And then we are in relationship to him in regard to resurrection. A look back into the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 23, there was a feast which was called the Feast of the First Fruits. It was the barley harvest, the first evidence of new life that had sprung up out of death. The seed sown, the seed dying. Out of the death of the seed, the barley harvest, the first fruits. And it was cut and put in a sheaf, and it was waved before Jehovah. And I've seen them doing it in the synagogue. And it's evidence before God of the resurrection of Christ. Because the apostle explains it in 1 Corinthians 15, when he said, now is Christ risen from among the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. Let's look at verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Or rather verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ isn't risen, our preaching is vain and your faith is vain. Yes, and we're found false witnesses, because we have testified God that he raised up Christ, whom he didn't, if so be that the dead don't rise. For if the dead don't rise, then Christ isn't risen. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Verse 20. But now in Christ is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Beloved, he the first fruits, and we who follow after, he said, because I live, ye shall live also. Our relationship to Christ is on the basis of the resurrection. And because he was raised, we shall be raised. Either from the grave at the coming of the Lord Jesus into the air, what we call the rapture, or while we sit or walk or sleep or ride our bicycle or drive our car, whatever happens, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Our relationship to Christ in regard to residence, he resides among us. In regard to righteousness, we have the imputation of his righteousness, so that we can say, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. And our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ is on the basis of his resurrection. And because he is alive and he rose from the dead, we too can look forward to that wonderful day when we shall be with him and like him. Blessed relationship of the one spoken of in Scripture as a just God and a Savior. Amen.